And then as the Great Depression hits, the animals had developed by this point. There's been a wider variety, and we've had more animals from the wild, including the boar. However, they were looking to sell some of the animals to the restaurants. Why was that the case, and were they successful?
Well, that was a big... You want to talk about this? The big...
Well, they were just... it was the Depression, and the zoo, of course, didn't have the money. I mean, they were running out of money to feed these animals, and so they were hoping that the restaurants would take some of the animals off their hands, basically. And so they tried selling them, but fortunately, the citizens of Milwaukee just were, a horde by this, and so they put up a big stink that they could not do this.
And those animals were donated by the society, and so it became an issue of, look, we've donated them to you for the enjoyment of the people of Milwaukee. You now, our agreement with you was we donate the animals, you take care of them. And, you can't just start selling them off. This is the common heritage of all the people of Milwaukee.
There was a bone of contention between the Milwaukee Parks Department and the society. That part of the agreement had never really been ironed out.
Because they never thought it was going to get to that point.
Exactly. The society thought, we bought the animals, we donated them to you. They thought they owned the animals, and the Park Commission went, well, no, we own the animals. So it was contentious.
But how did they pull through the Depression then?
Well, they didn't get a lot of new animals during the Depression. So when animals die in captivity, you don't replace them.
They also grew some of
their own food.
Yeah.
On a farm that was given to, for the zoo. And so that helped also.
They also had a pair of Siamese cats and sold Siamese kittens. They raised kittens and sold them and they got money for the kittens that they raised.
Wow, very interesting. How did the changes in the zoo's animal care and philosophy shift with the legislative decisions in D.C.?
Well, it became more difficult to get animals out of the wild with the Endangered Species Act. The collection of animals from Africa and even the Americas became much more difficult. You really get the development of zoo breeding programs to maintain the captive population rather than going out into collect into the from the wild. It also spurs zoos to become involved in conservation of animals in the wild as well as conservation of animals in captivity. So the Endangered Species Act and later the Convention on the International Trade of Endangered Species of Fauna and Flora really spurs zoos out of just primarily being about entertainment and education about the wild animals in a zoo setting to moving out of the zoo and participating in conservation programs around the world.
So it's not just about the humans, but now we're also considering the welfare of the animals.
That is a big change in zoos. In the past, you came to zoos to see animals, and they were often in sterile environments behind iron cages if they were dangerous animals, or behind glass, and you would have a lot of animals. Today, zoos have more natural settings for animals and allow places in the exhibit for the animal if they feel they do not want to be seen by the people to be on exhibit but not visible to the public. So you have more grass, more trees, more high grass where animals can hide, or areas where they can go to have a few private moments.
Because it's a little more cavernous now, especially with the open barless
bear dens.
Yes.
Well, the barless bear dens were actually an innovation in the 1930s at the Washington Park Zoo. So you moved from the smaller barred dens, bear grottos, to wider, more expansive exhibits where people were separated not necessarily by bars but by moats from the animals, which does allow you to see them in a sort of somewhat more natural setting than you would see them in a very sterile bear grotto.
I think that even in the Washington Park Zoo, animal welfare was a major concern of all the people who work there.
And oh, yes.
I think technology has really changed how animals are cared for. In the 20s and 30s, there was no such thing as zoological medicine. I mean, a lot of the
yeah, there were no schools or anything to teach these people. They learned on the job.
On the job.
On how to take care of them, what to feed them.
In a form of apprenticeship.
In a form of apprenticeship. Ed Bean had worked with Carl Hagenbeck in the Columbian Exposition. That's where his first experience with exotic animals were. When the Milwaukee County Zoo was built, the primate house was the first building built, and they were very sterile environments, but that was because most primates can get diseases from humans. So you had, in order to protect your collection, you had to keep them from interacting with humans. So they had the glass and the bathroom tile cages. Mm-hmm. And they were very successful in raising animals and breeding animals in that. Samson, which was Darlene's first book, is probably the best example of how care of gorillas has changed over the years from something very restricted to now major breeding programs in zoos.
And I think a lot of that in the beginning had to do with Sambo's death because he died of tuberculosis. And so then I think the zoo's philosophy, they got scared that something would happen to Samson. And so then they made it a very sterile environment for him to grow up in.
I think the problem of disease was a real issue in the development or the design of zoos in the 50s and the 60s. It was designed that you could flush the exhibits with, you know, a bleach water solution to make sure that the animal was safe, that he wasn't going to be getting any diseases from
parasites
from feces or food that was rotting on the exhibit or had gotten involved, you know, ground into a crevice or something like that. So, you know, bathroom tile was sealed, and it was very easy then to keep the exhibit sanitary.
Right.
It's a bigger problem now when you have substrates that have pockets and you can't feed on exhibit as much anymore because you don't want food getting stuck in grooves or pockets of tile or pockets of grout.
And World War II was also the impetus of a lot of medical treatments that were developed that have really helped in zoo medicine.